Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a great joy to be with you once again this morning, and praise the Lord to see you. This morning I want to bring you a very simple message from a simple text. If you would please then open to Psalm 23. Then we'll read together from verse 1 to verse 6, although I want us to just look at verse 1. Psalm 23. God's absolute tenderness. God's absolute tenderness towards us. Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. We're looking at God's absolute tenderness towards us. And church, there are many people, even among us, who are concerned that their loved ones do not treat them with an acceptable kind of affection, where you think that your people or those that are close to you do not care for you the way you would want them to care for you. And there are those who just want to feel loved and feel that there should be some kind of tender love towards them that is more than the usual. What happens then? People normally go around and look for such tender care or look for such tender love, and they end up not finding it. Why? Because we are, in a way, running away from the truth. Which is why, church, it is very important for each and every one of us, even this morning, to be reminded of the things that we know, to be reminded of how God loves us, to be reminded of how Jesus takes care of us, how is he so merciful and kind towards us. To be reminded that he treats us better than we deserve. Sometimes, church, we need to be reminded of these obvious things, these usual things that we normally say and recycle and sing to one another. Sometimes you sing such a psalm in your house, not taking into consideration of what the psalm is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I know that for a fact. It's a psalm that I recycle more than all the psalms. But you find that someone is recycling the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, while at the same time, he's feeling so lonely and he's trying to do things by himself through his own power, forgetting that the Lord is my shepherd. It is strange, church, to feel like you're a lost sheep. If you feel like you're a lost sheep, to feel like a lost sheep, but you are singing, the Lord is my shepherd. You are wandering around, you're fighting the devil, you're fighting temptation on your own, and you sing, the Lord is my shepherd. Why? We forget the reality, the truth that is in this word. Another strange thing is that most people, I hope is none of us here, most people want to be laid in green pastures before they will believe that the Lord is my shepherd. You want the Lord to lead you beside still waters before you believe that the Lord is your shepherd. But church, the Lord does not have to always lay us down in green pastures. But for as long as he restores our soul, he is a good shepherd. Jesus himself says,
In John chapter number 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. What do you sense there? You sense something of the glory and the power and the beauty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That above all that he can do for you, he has done one solid and marvelous thing, that he laid down his life for you. That defines him as a good shepherd. But not only is he a good shepherd, Jesus Christ says, I am the gate of the sheep. I am the sheep gate. I am the door. I am the protection. I am the assurance of your spiritual well-being. That is Jesus Christ. That's what it says in the book of John, chapter number 10, also in verse number 7. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. The question that remains then, do we always remember these truths and privileges that we have in him? Do we always remember this in our trouble? When we are in need, when we are frustrated and are almost driven to despair, when we are carried up by anxiety and the things and the troubles of this life, do we remember this truth that the Lord is our shepherd? Does it always occur to us that when you look left, right, and center, and we see no answer, we see no hope, we should actually look up unto him, look up to heaven where our shepherd is, look unto this shepherd of our soul, the shepherd of our today, the shepherd of our future? Do we always remember these things? I do not know the occasion in which David writes this psalm. I don't know what was in his mind. I don't know where he was. Maybe he was in trouble. Maybe he was in a spirit of praise. I do not know. But I can tell you that this psalm is a psalm of all occasions. Because in all occasions, the Lord is our shepherd. Therefore, this morning, I want us to be reminded of the three most simple principles to a joyful life. Three simple principles to be happy in the Lord. Firstly, the first thing that we need to realize and to remember is the reality of what you are in God. The reality of what you are in God. Not what someone else says, but what really you are in God. According to God himself, who are you? Verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Have you heard someone say, my car is the fastest on the road, or my car can drive faster? This person has told you two things, although he's saying one statement. He has told you already that he's got a car. That is a very simple and straightforward statement. But something else he has told you, that he is a driver. So here in this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, that is a clear statement. But it is something behind this word, the Lord is my shepherd. You can sense something of the realization that the psalmist says he is a sheep then. If the Lord is my shepherd, I am a sheep. Although the word doesn't say that he is a sheep. But the theme of this psalm tells you of this truth, that this psalmist recognizes the reality of who he is in the Lord. He is a sheep. Not a goat. A sheep. Therefore, each and every believer here, church, needs to know and acknowledge the person that he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the part whereby you begin to look at yourself the way the Lord looked at you. Not the way someone else looked at you. Here the psalmist saw himself as a desperate sheep. A desperate sheep. A sheep who could not find green pastures by himself without the guiding hand of God, without the helping hand of God. He says, it is God who leads me beside still water. It is the Lord who made me lie down in green pastures. I don't go and lie down by myself. I don't find these green pastures by myself. Someone is leading me, making me dependent upon him, making me a sheep of his pasture. He recognizes that. That is the first thing that you need to recognize. But also, he recognizes that he is someone who is satisfied in God's guidance and direction. Look at verse number 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. This shepherd is always with the sheep. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is satisfied in the way the Lord guides him and directs him. Of course, church, not everyone is satisfied with God's ways in his life. Not everyone is satisfied with God's way in his life. But a sheep should always be satisfied in how God leads him. Or else a sheep that is not satisfied in the ways of God, that is a sheep that will always wander around and eat plastics like a goat. Because only goats eat plastic. A sheep should not be eating plastic. I'm giving you an example of something that you know. In other words, a sheep will run around and act and speak like I am a sheep. But when the sheep is being determined thoroughly, you find that the sheep is a goat. Because he has not recognized himself in the Lord of who he is. In him, church, we are a child. In God, each and every one of us is a child. Regardless of how old you are, we are always at the mercy of God. You always remain his responsibility. You are a sheep. We are always at his mercy. You are always depending upon this God. In such dangerous times and in such changing world, the psalmist is glad to have someone guiding and protecting him, someone feeding him, regardless of how corrupt and terrible the world is, regardless of how much you don't have, but in the back of your mind, you know that there is a Lord who guides and protects you. He acknowledges his hopelessness outside God. That is very important, acknowledging your hopelessness, your emptiness without God, regardless of what you have. That is what the psalmist has done. There is something here of great humility, church. We know who David is, the king of Israel, the man who owns everything, if you will, the man who lives in a palace, if you will, the man who can point to each and every person and says, I want you and you and you to go and kill yourself, and you will have to do it. That's a amazing example. That's how much power he's got. He's a king of the tribe chosen by God. He's also a man chosen by God. But he says, in humility, I'm a sheep. He recognizes, I'm a sheep. In other words, I may look prosperous, but I'm unstable without God. I have nothing without God. You know the characters of a sheep, right? A sheep is a vulnerable animal. A sheep is a foolish animal. He recognizes those things. I may look clever before you, but I'm hopeless. I'm vulnerable. I'm irrational sometimes. In other words, I'm the person who is ridiculous at times. You recognize who you are. Remember how a sheep is? You watch a sheep standing before a river or a dam. They stand and they look for long, and you think they will take the right decision. What does he do? He jumps in, knowing that he can't swim, but he still jumps in. That is what a sheep is. Always in need of a shepherd, always in need of guidance, always in need of that helping hand of God. He just jumps in, although he knows he can't swim. Ridiculous animal. A sheep sometimes may be caught in that barbed wire that protects the sheep not to go to danger, but the sheep will always want to break through, and sometimes when they try to break through, they get caught by this barbed wire, and it's so painful. But what does the sheep do? You come and you take it out, the next day it goes there, it tries it again. That's what a sheep is. That is what we are. He goes and he tries it again. He's a demanding animal. That's what a sheep is. He demands all the time. Always asking and less thankfulness from the sheep. Always asking, always demanding. Demanding food and food and food again. Crying day in and day out. A sheep is always crying. When in joy, they cry. In pain, they cry. During the day, they cry. During the night, they cry.
That's what a sheep does. Never happy without a tear. Never crying without a tear. Always tears.
In other words, less appreciating. A sheep is that. David recognized that. A sheep is a stubborn animal. It's stubborn to correction. Stubborn to guidance. You cannot guide it all the time. You must always be there. The Bible says they have a reputation of going astray. The Bible pointing to us that we are actually like that sheep. We have a reputation of going astray. Isaiah chapter number 53 verse 6. Remember what the gospel of Isaiah says. He says, all we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There is no way of correcting and guiding this permanently. It needs a sovereign hand. It needs a powerful hand to bring it on the right route. That is why, church, a sheep is always dependent. It is the only animal that is dependent. Most of the animals can stand on their own. They can cope and thrive without any close supervision. But a sheep is not. They are very dependent on their shepherd, and they cannot live without his guiding hand. David recognizes that. As mighty and powerful as I am a sheep. I need God. Therefore, church, it is important to recognize your own desperate state outside God. We are desperate without Him. Because if you do not recognize your desperate state without God, you will think there is something in your hand that you will bring unto Him. But actually, there is nothing in our hands that we can bring unto Him. But you simply cling to the cross of Christ. As a sheep will cling to the guidance of his shepherd. Having said this, church, I just wonder if we do see ourselves in the very same picture of a sheep. A desperate animal. An animal that is always in need of guidance. An animal that can be lost at any time. An animal which sits there thinking everything is safe, but there is a wolf behind the fence waiting to kill and to destroy, to devour the sheep. Do we look at ourselves that way? Or we think we can stand? We think we can stand on our own. Maybe it is the reason why we are so prayerless as a people of God, because we think we can stand on our own. Maybe it is the reason that we are not so thankful, we are not thankful enough, because we think we can stand on our own. Is that true? We cannot stand on our own. Here we see something then of self-realization. Something of being truthful to yourself about yourself. To be honest to you about you. David, this great king of Israel, a mighty and a popular man as he was, he says, I am lost. I am vulnerable. I am hopeless without God. I may still be a sheep having this much wool around me, and I look like a sheep. I may still be looking like this sheep covered with wool over my skin, but I need his guiding hand to greener pastures. I need his guiding hand to greener pastures. What does that mean? I may look prosperous. It may look like the Lord has laid me in green pastures. It may look like the Lord has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and praise the Lord for that. But I still need his rod and his staff to comfort me. Regardless of my progress and my success, I still need the Lord to guide and protect me. Even regardless of my vulnerability and lostlessness in this world, I need the Lord to guide and protect me. I need to keep up with His ways. I need to be kept by Him, in Him. I need to keep a spiritual connection with Him. That is very important. Keeping a spiritual connection with God, knowing who you are in Christ, is very important. It helps you not to claim to be sheep while you are a goat. It helps you that you should know that every goat can be spiritually changed to be sheep, and should remain sheep of God. So David knows these things. David recognizes these things.
He wants to help us to strive. He wants us to strive to be separated from similar behaviors and similar characteristics of the world, like that of goats, but to remain in the characteristics and the characters of a sheep. That is what David is trying to help us with. To have something of a personal conviction that we belong to God regardless of any circumstances. And that is what will keep us, church. That is what will keep you in the path of righteousness, as it speaks about God leading him in the path of righteousness. God leads you in the path of righteousness, but what will keep you is your own recognition, your personal realization of who you are. Knowing that you are fully dependent on God. Knowing that you should always put your life at the hands of this caring and loving and tender God. That is where you should be. Listen to what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 100 verse 3. Psalm 100 verse number 3. Listen to him. He says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. Know that. It is He who made us. And we are His. We are His people, a sheep of His pasture." So David doesn't come here not knowing that he's a sheep. We are a sheep of God's pasture, not a sheep of anyone else's pasture, but a sheep of God's pasture. So David is not convincing himself to make a God and call him a shepherd while he is not a sheep. He knows God's promises to His people. He knows that God is the shepherd of His people, which we shall see shortly. But he knows that he is the sheep of God's pasture. Let me read for you one of God's promises in Ezekiel 34, verse 14. Listen to God. You can turn there if you will. Ezekiel 34, verse 14. Listen to what the Lord is saying through the prophet, speaking about Himself, but giving us a message direct to His people. He says, "I will feed them with good pastures." Only a sheep can be put in good pastures. God says, "I will feed them with good pastures. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. On a rich pasture, they shall feed on the mountains of Israel." Therefore, church, to be free from anxiety, to experience the fullness of joy of the salvation of God, to feel the tender mercies of God and the tender love of God, you need to know, firstly, who you are or what you are in God, regardless your circumstances, and regardless the circumstances in contrary to God's promise. Because sometimes circumstances stand in contrary to God's promises. It is possible that God is promising something else, but at that moment circumstances is bringing something different. But regardless of all this, you should know that God is faithful. You are a sheep of His pasture. You are a sheep. Your future is in the hands of God. You just need to subject yourself under His guiding and protecting hand. You need to subject yourself under His protecting power, His sovereign power. You need to subject yourself to that. You should never put your hope on anything of this world. Never let your circumstances subject you to a state of low self-esteem. Never. You are God's sheep. Remain humble. Remain kind, remain self-controlled, remain loving, because that is the fruit of all the sheep of God. Remain as God will want you to be, having the character of God, having the same character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would I say that? He is called the Lamb of God, a Lamb of God. In other words, He humbled Himself, as we were told last time, even to the point of death. He humbled Himself and condescended from heaven to this place down here below. He wants us to be. And then the psalmist is reminding us to realize that of who we are. People who should always remain humble and realizing of who they are in Christ. The second thing I want you to recognize here,
is the obvious one. The reality of who God is. The reality of who God is. Verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. According to this psalm, the Lord is the one who has the eye of an eagle towards us. The one who will not let anything touch us. He is the shepherd of our soul. He is the one who knows the terrain. He knows the circumstances. He knows our ways, our going in and our going out. He knows the circumstances standing before us, even those things we do not see. He is the good shepherd. Remember how a shepherd goes, according to Jesus. The shepherd leads the flock by walking in front of the sheep. So the God that we serve, go over or go before, to use human terms, to see how things are, where we shall go, before He leads us there. But we know that He prepares that table before us in the presence of our enemies. So this is the idea that David is bringing here. He's speaking of a good shepherd, a shepherd who's a skillful and trustworthy caretaker of our soul. That is what a shepherd is, a skillful and trustworthy caretaker of the soul. That is what he says God is, or who God is in our life. In desperate times, in our trouble, then we cannot begin to have this small God and begin to fear the unknown because we have this small God in our minds. No, David is bringing a greater God, a shepherd who goes in front of the sheep, who walks the tough terrains for the sheep. So that in troubling times, we do not begin to have a small God. We do not begin to fear the unknown, but we totally depend upon Him. We depend upon His absolute tenderness toward us. Listen to what David says in Psalm 27, verse 1. Listen to David. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He knows He has a greater God, greater than anything of this world, greater than the circumstances and the terrains of this world where the sheep may go. Who should I fear? Or what shall I fear? So, church, the picture of a shepherd here represents something of a more and of a closer intimate relationship that we have with God. In other words, God does not relate to us as a distant friend. You see the friends we have on Facebook, the one we have not seen, but we chat to them each and every day. Those are distant friends. They are not friends. God is not like those friends. You may be speaking to those friends every day, sending them good morning friends on Facebook, and they say good morning back to you. You think you have something that attaches you to them. Mm-mm. God is much greater than that. He's not like a distant friend. I'm making that example because we do not see Him here with us. But church, He is always with us. He is closer to us. He is closer to the brokenhearted. He is closer to each and every one of our needs. He is not like a distant friend. He relates to us like a loving parent who's always there for his children. A loving parent always there to provide, to guide, and to keep his children according to the precepts of the Lord. He is always there, leading us, walking with us, side by side, providing and giving us strength for each day. That is the concept that the psalmist is bringing here. He says, God alone is a providing shepherd. Many other things and many other gods, if you will, can try to provide for you. Theft can try to provide for you, whereas you try to steal things, thinking that it will belong to you. But only God is a good provider, providing things that really belong to you. That is the one you need. That is the one you should look up to. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15, verse 5. Just to show you this great shepherd, just to show you how great this God is, just to show you how appreciative David is in knowing this God, helping us, trying to teach us that we should know this God. Jesus says, John 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. Do you hear that? Without me,
you can do nothing. He is not saying without me you will be paralyzed. There are so many people that are not paralyzed. They are doing things without Jesus. But those things don't matter. That is what Christ is talking about. Without me, you will do great things that doesn't matter. Without me, you will please the world and never please God. Without me, you will be known and be popular. Streets will be named by you, but it is worthless. That is why David is pointing us to this shepherd. Because without this shepherd, we are lost. Without this shepherd, we are desperate. Without this shepherd, we are vulnerable. Without me, you can do nothing. God is the one we need in our lives. And once we have Him, we lay our burdens upon Him. We rely and depend on Him. We don't allow ourselves to have any other God outside Him. That is why, church, we should never rely on past experiences. The things that God did for you in the past is good. Praise Him for it. Don't rely on that. Always look forward to the new things that God will do for you. Don't rely on the victories of the past. Rather rely on God who provided the victory. No, people always speak of the things that happened, the good things that happened to them. They forget to speak about the God who caused those good things to happen to them. Don't rely on the things of the past. Rather to God, the one who provides, the shepherd. Rather follow this shepherd through prayer and through His word. That is the only way. Obeying His word, speaking to Him through prayer, having this intimate relationship that we're talking about. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 15. Listen to verse number 4. Listen to Jesus Himself speaking about how much tenderness and how much care He has towards His sheep. Luke chapter 15, verse 4. He brings this statement as in a form of a question, but you can simply hear what Jesus is saying here. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? This is the concept, this is the truth, this is the reality about God's tender love towards us. God does not only love us collectively, church. Please listen. He does not only love us collectively. He does love us collectively, but not only. He loves you and you and you and you and all individually. This is a God who has so much love and care that He knows His sheep. He knows the number of sheep, if you will. The Bible says, yes, He leaves the 99 in the open land. He leaves the 99 and go find the one that is missing. But what do we do? As long as we have the 99, we don't care much about the one that is lost. As long as we have the numbers that we have, we don't care much about those who have left the church. We don't even phone those who have left the church. Those we brought to the church. Well, as long as we bring them, we think now they should take over their own little lives and move on. We cut the ties between us and them, but not this God. He's a great shepherd. He leaves the 99 and go look for the one. That is the attitude that God has towards us. God has a deep concern for our well-being, church. That is what we get from here. He cares for each and every one of us. Therefore, God cannot just be our family pillar. You know, sometimes we want God to be our family pillar, which is good. But God cannot always only be our family pillar. God should be a pillar of your own personal soul as an individual. Not just a family pillar. In other words, the family cannot always pray for you and you do not pray for yourself or try to have this great connection, this spiritual connection with God. Both the family and you in need should call unto God. Remember the story that we have in the book of Acts chapter number 12, the story of Peter. Sometimes we need to be still as Christians and know that He is God. What is happening in the book of Acts? James the apostle's head has been cut off. The devil is trying to make a spectacle of the Christians. The kings and the rulers of those worlds, they're trying to have popularity by killing the children of God, burning them at the stake. And now Peter has been taken to prison. Peter is fastened in prison. He's bound there to be killed the next day. What is happening? The family, the children of God, the church of the living God is praying in another house. Peter is sitting and lying and resting in prison as if nothing is happening. Some people might think Peter has just given up and said, you know, let me die because James has died. I don't believe that. I think Peter knows the psalm. Be still and know that God, that I am God. He knew that he serves a wonderful and a miraculous God. So he had hope. He had trust in God. While the church is praying, he also was inside himself praying. He may not be praying. He might not be praying to get out of prison. But he was saying, Lord, unto thy hands I bring my spirit. Maybe. So what am I trying to say? It must not be a collective fellowship that we have with God only. You as a person need to have it in your heart. Be still and know He is God. The only way you will be still and know that He is God is by remembering that He leaves 99 healthy, saved sheep and goes look for one that is stranded, vulnerable and lost, which is you and I. He's a good shepherd. How do we know even more that He's a good shepherd in practical ways? How do we know that we can trust and depend on Him? I think this speaks of His loving, tender care that He has towards us. I want to give you a few points. One, when the sheep is gone astray, through willful and ignorance on His part, when this sheep has gone astray, the good shepherd, the Bible says, He seeks and saves that which is lost. The good shepherd goes to those dangerous terrains, goes to those dangerous places where we might be hiding, and he finds us out and lays his gracious hand upon us. Why? So that sin does not find us out there. Because our sin will find us out if he doesn't find us out. So the good shepherd seeks that which is lost. So we know we can trust and depend on him. We know that He is a loving and a tender God. Another point that I want you to remember about this shepherd is that the Lord is our shepherd. He is the one who delivers us from the power of the enemy. It is God who delivers us from the power of the enemy. We don't have something of ourselves, in ourselves, to deliver ourselves outside Him from our great enemy, the devil. He has the power to deliver us from the enemy. When we have fallen into the hands of the enemy, it is God who rescues us. He always exercises His pity towards us. He always exercises His power towards the enemy on our behalf to rescue us from His hands, to rescue us from under His control. God does that because He's a good shepherd. Another point is that the Lord restores us to His fold. He gives us peace. When we go astray like a sheep, as I was mentioning, He's the one who goes and finds us. But He does not only go and find us and says, now I found you, don't be lost again. No, He restores us. He counsels us. He keeps us in His fold through His word. He teaches us each and every time of how to live, behave, and be happy in Jesus. He restores us to His fold. I mentioned before that He becomes like the gate of the sheep, as John chapter number 10, verse 7 says. He becomes the gate of the sheep. In other words, He's the one, then after He has found you, He puts you inside the house of God, if you will, and then He lies down by the door as the gate or the door of that house, so that you He is aware of your going in and your going out. Why? So that He blesses your going in and your going out. He is the Lord who restores us to the fold and blessing us more than we even deserve. Another point is that
The Lord feeds us through His grace.
I think I like this part. Why? Because, church, I think it is much better for us to be fed by the greener or through the greener pastures of His grace than to be fed to greener pastures of our own desires of this world. It is better to be fed to the greener pastures of His grace. It is better to have much grace than the things of this world. Because it is grace and grace alone that will lead us home. It is not the things of this world. Not because we don't have to have the things. We must. We should have the things of the world, of this world, if we can. But we need grace more than anything else. So the Lord restores us. And He gives us grace upon grace. He gives us His word. And He gives us His spirit. The Lord, He feeds us through His grace. Another point that I want you to remember as you think about this shepherd is that the Lord heals us from our sickness. He heals us from our weakness, like a sheep who goes out and he is always tendering his sheep. A shepherd who goes out, rather, and is always tendering his sheep. God is like that. He works on our weaknesses. He works on our weaknesses. He take away the gossip. He take away the stealing mind, the mind of a thief from us. He takes away all the unnecessary and sinful things in our own life. He works on our weakness so that one day we may see Him face to face. But He also heals our diseases. Yes, He has not promised to heal each and every one, but God heals our diseases. Listen to His promise here in Ezekiel 36 verse 16. Listen to what God says. He says, I will bind up that which was broken and strengthen that which is sick. That is God. So David, remember, in the context of this, he remembers this good shepherd who does all these things. A shepherd who binds up that which is broken. A shepherd who strengthens that which is sick. God, church, is our good shepherd. He's the one who heals our diseases. He's the one who restores the broken health of the soul. He's the one who does all these things through the power of His grace. So there is no weakness, nothing of our weakness that He can fail to overcome. He is a good shepherd. He meets all our needs. He's the one who will guide us. Like a lamb gathered by the shepherd. He's the one who leads us to green pastures, like a sheep led by a shepherd. God is the one. He will carry us in His bosom, as the Bible says. He's the one who gathered the lamb in His arms. He's the one who looks after us. Even, that text says, actually, even our young ones. God is a good shepherd. He looks after the sheep, even the young ones. He's a great God. He deserves all the praise. So church, we can see here a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this. Because this is the Lord Jesus Christ who has this solemn mission. A mission to be a faithful and a tender shepherd. You can sense something of the Lord Jesus Christ here. The one whose mission was to lay down His life for the sheep. You can hear something of that time here. So, the psalmist, is pointing to us the future as he was speaking in the past. That the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who will lay down His life for the sheep. Therefore, church, to be free from anxiety, to experience the joy of salvation, know who God is or what God is in your life. He is a good shepherd who will never let your foot be moved. He will keep you and will not slumber. That is the God we have. And no thief, the Bible says, no thief will steal you from under His wing. Why? He is a good shepherd. The last thing I want us to be reminded of, which is something that is clear and simple. That is why I said I want to bring you a clear and simple message. The third thing I want you to know, the privilege of our faith in God.
the privilege of our faith in God. Verse 1, the last part of verse 1, I shall not want. So, outside the privilege of being saved, which is a privilege, we have a greater privilege again, a privilege of lacking nothing. Everyone is looking around and says, but I do lack things. But the Bible says, I shall not want or I shall not lack. So what does this mean? I lack things. The psalmist says, we have everything we need in Jesus. Yes, the psalmist is not saying, or in the Lord, let's put it that way. The psalmist is not saying, we lack nothing at all. No, I'll explain what does this mean. That is why the Bible church tells us or motivate us or encourage us to pray. Pray for your daily sustenance. Pray, give us our daily bread. Why would you pray for daily bread? You don't have all that you want. But the psalmist says, I shall not want. What is this psalmist talking about? Church, this speaks of a complete satisfaction in God. In other words, it speaks of being content in the Lord. I'm going to repeat, being content in God, being satisfied in what God gives, knowing that He's able to give everything that you need, but He restrains some other things from you for your own good. But He is capable of giving all things. He is incapable of failing you. That is what this is about. God is capable of giving you all things. He is incapable of failing you. He is able to give you all that you need, but restrain other things from you for your own good. He is able. That is why the psalmist says, I shall not want. So whatever is good, not from my eyes, to get from God, but whatever is good from God's eye to give to me, He is able to give. So I have all things. God have all things for me. That is what this is about. So this is not about what I have. This is about what God have and God can do. This verse is not about looking at your cupboard and looking at your wardrobe and looking at in your own house and says, I don't have. No, this is about looking unto God and His sovereignty and say, He has all things. Therefore, I shall not want. Whenever I'm in need, He's able to provide and give. This is about God, not about me or what I have, but what God can give to me. It's not about what I have now, but what I can have in God. The truth here is that, in other words, God will never turn away from us. In most troublesome time, in our most desperate time, God will always be there for us. He will not forget our sorrows. He will not forget our pain. He's always there taking care of us, satisfying our hearts and our souls. In other words, God will not ignore our trouble. Even when He does not physically supply, that is what this is about. Even when He's not physically supplying to us, He will feed our spirit that we are content. Let me give you an example. That is why it is important to be the people of God, people who live by faith, people who believe what God says. There they were walking in the wilderness. Everyone is complaining. Okay, let me say, almost everyone is complaining. We are tired of this food. They complain about the manna. We are tired of this whole thing that is happening here. We remember the food we ate in Egypt. We remember the garlic. We remember everything, the onions and so on. Everyone is almost complaining. Let me remind you, Moses did not complain. Caleb did not complain. Joshua did not complain. Some people did not complain, even though the multitude complained. But why did the others not complain? Why did Moses not complain? Why did Caleb and Joshua not complain? They were content in God. It's about being content in God. Not wanting, having all that you need. While people having what they have, but still not thankful. That is where the problem is. You have things, you are not thankful. these people were thankful. Paul himself says, I am content in God. But when did Paul say these things? When he realized that God is faithful, although he has a thorn on his flesh, he says, I'm still content. I have all that I need. This is about that. It's not about having a good life and having all the things that some people are promising you and you never get. It's about being content in God, trusting that God is able to give, and he gives abundantly to those that are his. Being content. And remember, church, as I was saying to you, there are desperate moments in history where the people of God needed God. Moments when the people of God were conquered by their enemies. But what happened? God was always with them. They did not want. God was always with them. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 139. Speaking about being satisfied in God. Because this is about being satisfied in God. He says in Psalm 139 verse 8, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. You see, God is always there. And he says, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. In other words, if I go to the highest of heaven, you are there. If I go down to the depths of hell, you are there. God is always there. So I am satisfied in God because he never leaves nor forsakes his people. That is why he says here in chapter number 23, I shall not want. He tells us then that the psalmist tells us that in God there is always hope and assurance. In God there is always joy. In God there is always contentment because God has a place in his heart. There is a place where he keeps his people. There is a place in God's heart where he is always able and willing to satisfy his people. That is why, church, we must then be the people of faith. We can have faith even in the midst of chaos. In our own chaotic life, we can still say, I shall not want. There was a time when David was running away from his son. His son Absalom wanting to kill him. He still said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There are times when kings threw spears at him, wanting to kill him for the throne that he was going to get. But he was still able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Once. There was a time when David went through a tough time and had nothing to eat, even ate the bread that was forbidden from him, but he was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, church, it's all about trusting and relying, believing in God. But our biggest problem is that we don't see that we have all things in God. So, the fact that we don't see that we have all things in God, then shakes our life, shakes our faith. That is what needs to be corrected. God is always with his people. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. So, the psalmist is stating here that because of the Lord and his divine shepherd skills, we want nothing. In other words, God does not fail his people, as a shepherd will not fail his sheep. Now it brings the concept I spoke about, a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, that the sheep may want, that the sheep may have all that they need, which is all life. When Christ laid down his life, he was giving us more life, that we may live in this world, die from this world, but pass on to live again in another land, the land of promise, to live forever in the presence of God. Should the shepherd have not died and laid his life for the sheep, we will not have hope. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He takes care of me even when I cannot take care of myself. This is the Lord who has everything. The Lord who has given us his son. The Bible says he did not keep his son. He did not spare his son from us. Therefore we shall not want. He was able to provide for Abraham, providing a lamb instead of Isaac to be slaughtered. Now he's able to provide for the whole land, for the whole world, his son, in order that wrath may not fall upon us. Therefore, we shall not want. We have all that we need in him.
Let's move a little bit quicker. I think here we see God's absolute tenderness towards us. And I think that is the reason why we serve and worship this living God. He is tender towards us. The psalmist says somewhere else, I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken by the Lord and his children begging for food. That is the tender, loving care of God. He does not forsake the righteous, and he does not let the righteous children beg for his food. What does that support? I shall not want. Therefore, until church, we have been to that cross, until we have come to Jesus and see him as Savior, we won't be able to regard him as the Lord who is sufficient. This speaks of the sufficiency of God, the one who meets all our deepest needs. We need to come to that realization. He's sufficient. There's nothing lacking in him. That is good worship, knowing there's nothing lacking in God. I may not have all that I want, but nothing is lacking in God. He's able to do exceedingly abundant than more than we can ask or think. That's what the Bible says. Nothing is too hard for God. Remember how he provided these people the manna in the wilderness, as I was saying to you. But something that we always forget today, that God is sufficient. Church, in the wilderness, God kept their clothes new for 40 years. Think about that just quickly. Keeping their clothes new, not torn, for 40 years. They wore the same clothes they had in Egypt for 40 years. They wore the same shoes and walked 1,000 miles with the same shoes. They never worn out. God is sufficient. I shall not want. Jesus, what does Jesus say? He says, look at the birds of the air. They never sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? The answer is, we are. So God is on our side, and who can be against us? The Apostle Paul, he reveals the sufficiency of God in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 19. Remember that verse? What does God say in that verse? Paul says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God is able to cause all of his grace to abound towards us. God is able to justify you through his grace. God is able to pardon you through his grace. God is able to cleanse you from your sin through his grace. God is able to keep you in this life and keep you in the life to come and sustain you in this life through his grace. God is able to bring you unto him blameless through his grace. In other words, church, there is no case that God cannot meet. A case of our need that God cannot meet. It says, he makes me lie in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord, church, give us rest. He gives rest to the weary. If you are weary this morning, the Lord gives you rest. If you are hopeless this morning, the Lord gives you hope. If there's some kind of discomfort in your life this morning, the God that we serve is able to comfort you and to bind that broken heart, because he is able, he is God. Let me close like this. Let me remind you three things. Firstly, you cannot see God as shepherd if you don't see yourself as sheep. You first need to see yourself as a sheep. Find yourself in him as sheep. You will appreciate him as shepherd. In other words, you need to humble yourself before God by realizing of who you are in him. Have this realization that you are always at the mercy of God. You don't live for yourself by yourself. You live in God by God. Like a sheep, continue to demand in the Lord. Like a sheep demands from the shepherd. That is not bad. But don't forget to be thankful. Don't forget to appreciate what God has done. Follow him like a sheep following a shepherd. Follow him. eat what he gives, like a sheep eats everything that the shepherds offer. Eat what he gives, and he gives us his word. Be content. Eat his word. Know his voice and follow him, so that you don't follow any other voice. Remember what Adam and Eve did? They knew the voice of God. They knew that they were sheep. But when the voice of the enemy, the counterfeit shepherds, when that voice came, they also followed the voice and they sinned. Remember, follow the voice of God. And the voice of God is here. And it is written in your conscience. The right that is in your conscience. Follow the voice of God like a shepherd, like a sheep following the voice of a shepherd. Unlike Adam and Eve who followed the voice of the serpent. Let the shepherd lead you. Let the shepherd be the one that leads you. Like a shepherd, let him watch over you. God, he must be the one that watch over you. Let him be the one who protects and guides you. Let him be the one who nurses you and take care of you. Let him be the one who washes your wounds of discouragement and your wounds of disappointment. Stop looking for someone to cover or wash your wounds of disappointment and discouragement. The shepherd must do that. It is his job. That is why Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It is his job to wash our discouragement, our weariness, and our pain. Let him do that by believing, trusting, and depending on him. The last thing. We don't only need God to take care of our physical needs, church. We need God to fulfill us spiritually. We need God to fulfill you spiritually. Stop looking at the tangible things. Look unto heaven. Desire to be where God is. Be satisfied in him. Let him be the one who feeds you that you may want no more. Be strong in prayer because he is strong in listening. Ask anything according to his will. Remember that he has blessed you with all spiritual blessing in Christ. All spiritual blessing in Christ are yours. Then ask yourself a question. What more then will he not give to me if he has given all spiritual blessings in Christ? What is it that God will fail to give you if he has given you Jesus? Behold Christ. He is the good shepherd, and in him you shall not want, and in him you are a sheep of his pasture. The good Lord bless you. Amen.